clunker is winding down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at the economy a few minutes into the trading day. Let's ask that question, where's Wall Street? Markets are up, barely under a percent at this hour. The S&P 500 up about 0.75%, NASDAQ up about 0.4%, the Dow up about 0.5%, 54 points at 94.04. Europe's trading higher about 1.5%, and Asian shares closed mixed today. Government tells us the Cash for Clunkers program goes kaput Monday night. Car dealers get one more weekend to spur some sales from it. We're going to check in now with Bill Stone. He's chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He's here to talk about what that means for automakers going forward, and he joins us live from Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So we're going to hear from this Cash for Clunkers program, of course, is wrapping up for Monday, Monday night at 8 o'clock, I believe, sometime Monday night. So what does that mean for automakers going as we move forward?
Well, I think we can say it was definitely a success in getting auto sales started again. I think the question, which is maybe the one you're asking, is whether it just really maybe moved sales forward or if it really gave a kickstart to sales. And maybe also, did it just steal sales from some other part of the economy? And I think that's what we're going to continue to have to wrestle with.
And we're going to hear from the Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke in about 10 minutes or so, Bill. He'll be giving that speech on the financial crisis at a conference in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. What does he need to say to keep generating some confidence in the economy?
Well, I think he's supposed to talk about, what we learned from the financial crisis. So, I think he's going to talk about, what we could take away from it, maybe what we can do better in the future, and maybe that'll help with confidence. I also would like to say it's probably going to slightly be subtitled, What Would I Do With a Second Term, because there's a little bit of that going on.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that. Bill Stone, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks.
As Bill mentioned, a second term possible. Bernanke's term is Fed Chairman expires, and President Obama is deciding whether to reappoint him. The former Labor Secretary and University of California Berkeley Professor Robert Reich joins us to talk about the process and what it could mean for the economy. Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Hi, Steve.
Ben Bernanke's term doesn't end until January, so why aren't we hearing about this debate now?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think mainly because financial markets hate uncertainty, and the longer the president waits, the more uncertainty there's going to be. Also, now that the economy is showing faint signs of bottoming out, more attention is going to be paid to the Fed's exit strategy. The when and how it withdraws all that credit medicine. And the president will want to get beyond the issue of Bernanke's appointment, so nobody thinks the timing of the exit is influenced by politics.
Okay, Bob, I get it. It's a big deal for the president, but it's also a big deal for the economy, right?
Oh, you bet. And besides everything else, decisions by the Fed next year in particular could very well affect the midterm elections. I mean, if the Fed acts too soon, raising interest rates and pulling in credit, and the economy tanks again, that's going to be very, very tough for the Democrats. If the Fed is too late, we could face a tidal wave of inflation.
And a lot of people, Bob, think he's controversial. Why is that?
Look, no Fed chair has done what he has done. I mean, the rescues of Bear Stearns and AIG, letting Lehman go down, buying mortgage-backed securities from Fannie and Freddie. I mean, he has turned the Fed into a kind of alternative U.S. bank. And all this activism has earned him a lot of enemies. So reappointment of Ben Bernanke is hardly a sure bet.
Well, let's talk about that then, Bob. Peer into your crystal ball. I mean, will Bernanke be reappointed?
Ah, well, if you'd asked me a few months ago, I would have said no. But now that the economy is showing some signs of life, Bernanke's star is rising again.
And when will the president act on this, do you think?
I would expect fairly soon. The president has enough on his plate this fall that he wants to get this out of the way.
All right. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, professor of public policy at University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Listening to the Morning Report for Friday, August 21st, 2009, at marketplace.org. The Swiss government has sold its stake in the banking giant UBS. It's the first government to sell bank shares it bought during last year's series of bailouts. And the Swiss have made a profit on the deal. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
The Swiss government bought 9% of UBS at the height of the financial crisis last year. It's just sold that stake, making a net profit of more than $1 billion. Not bad, considering UBS is one of the European banks hardest hit by the credit crunch. And the bank's also been embroiled in a costly fight with the US over tax evasion. That dispute was settled this week. UBS agreed to hand over the names of more than 4,000 American account holders. Andrew Hilton of the CSFI think tank says that helped the Swiss government unload its UBS stock.
I think that gives the share price a bounce. There's no doubt that UBS looks a better bet, having resolved this problem with the US, as indeed, I suppose, do the other Swiss banks as well.
Bank analysts say the Swiss sale suggests that when the US government comes to sell its shares in Citigroup, American taxpayers could make a profit too. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It could be a busy weekend for car dealers. The $3 billion Cash for Clunkers program is wrapping up. The Obama administration announced yesterday that the popular trade-in program will wind down Monday night. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
The Obama administration says dealers have sold more than 450,000 vehicles through Cash for Clunkers so far, with the government kicking in $2 billion in rebates. That leaves another $1 billion in the program. Officials say that should last through Monday's 8 p.m. Eastern deadline. But some dealers have already stopped offering the incentives. They've complained about delays in getting reimbursed by the government. On a radio talk show yesterday, President Obama said the money is on the way.
This is actually a high-class problem to have, that we're selling too many cars too quickly, and there's some backlog in the application process. It is getting fixed.
The administration says it's tripled the number of workers processing applications. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood called the program a lifeline to the automobile industry. Car makers have rehired workers to boost production. But analysts say the burst of demand could take a bite out of sales in the fall. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The National Association of Realtors came out with the latest numbers on existing home sales today. Home resales soared 7.2% in the month of July, the largest monthly increase in 10 years. And one place that's finally seen some positive results in that blistered industry is Phoenix. The latest report from the state shows the housing crisis may be relenting. From KJZZ, Peter O'Dowd reports.
Median home prices in Phoenix have fallen by half over the past 27 months. It's been a historic crash, but Arizona State University's Carl Gunterman says it's possible the worst has passed.
The pattern seems to be fairly clear that this plunge in prices we've been seeing is easing somewhat.
Gunterman says Phoenix home prices hit bottom in April and then slowly climbed to a median price of $119,000 in July. Here's another encouraging sign. Recent home sales have reached a pace not seen since the real estate heyday of 2005. But economist Marshall Vest is still cautious about the future of Arizona's economy. In good times, he says 20% of employment in Arizona is related to construction, mortgage lending, and other growth industries.
I think we're going to continue to be subjected to the ups and downs of the building cycle. That's the way it's been for decades, and I think that's going to continue into the future.
Even if this housing rebound continues, Vest predicts Arizona's economy will contract through the end of the year. In Phoenix, I'm Peter O'Dowd for Marketplace.
Later today, the Washington Nationals baseball team will introduce its new $15 million pitcher. And as Tamara Keith reports, he could represent a fresh start for a team that struggled ever since moving to the nation's capital.
The Washington Nationals have an awesome new stadium and the worst record in baseball. J.C. Bradbury is a sports economist at Kennesaw State University.
You know, you're losing and you have no respect, and that just doesn't comfort fans when they're thinking about, do I want to buy this Nationals jersey? Is everyone going to laugh at me, or am I going to be getting high fives around the office?
The Nationals faithful are hoping for more high fives soon if pitcher Steven Strasburg lives up to the hype. He was the number one pick in the amateur draft this year and just cemented a four-year, $15 million contract. That's a record for a player who hasn't thrown a single pitch in the major leagues. Sports economist Andrew Zimbalist is at Smith College.
They need a shot in the arm or two shots in the arm. This guy gives them that potential credibility.
or he could be a dud. It's a real gamble, and other struggling teams are watching. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Angelo Camerata has been serving drinks to his customers in Pittsburgh for 77 years. The 95-year-old Cam, as friends call him, is retiring from Camerata's Cafe in the next couple of weeks after a Guinness recognition as world's longest-serving bartender. He's with us now to talk about it. Mr. Camerata, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So, 77 years you've been doing this. What's the best part of the job?
The best part of the job is meeting people and serving people and making friends. It's all family. Our customers are all family members.
You say you like to meet people and talk with people at the bar. Was there anything else you wanted to do as a career?
Not really. I unfortunately or unfortunately, I graduated high school in the midst of depression. Nothing was available. My dad had a grocery store, and so beer came back in 33, and just automatically turned over into selling beer and getting rid of all the groceries.
This was the lifting of Prohibition.
The lifting of Prohibition, yes. I sold my first bottle of beer 2 seconds after midnight on April the 7th. We had maybe 15, 20 men, persons waiting outside because they knew it. And I took the first case of beer off of the beer truck that had been parked in front of our business area and sold a bottle of beer for 10 cents.
You've been selling a lot of beer since. What's your favorite drink to make?
I'm not a mixologist, but you make a gin and tonic and you make a...
The simple stuff.
Yeah. We're not a fancy bar. We're not a big bar. We're a neighborhood bar.
What are you looking for in your retirement, sir?
Rest. Peace and rest. My wife is 92, and she... doesn't walk much, so I look after her needs. So we look after each other.
Well, Angelo Camerata, joining us from Pittsburgh, thank you and good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.